Introduction. Hundreds of great books have been written about the Pacific War. The majority of these volumes fall into one of three categories: a book about the war in general, a book that illuminates every detail of a single battle or important aspect, or a book by a veteran about his experiences. While all of these have their place in the historiography of such an important event, there is room for one more. The goal of the Pacific is to take the reader through the Pacific War, from first to last, through the eyes of a select few of the men who fought it. In this way, the reader enjoys the immediacy of the individual narrative, but sees the war as a whole. To achieve this goal, the five stories included here were chosen because they are representative of the experience. Between these men, they fought many of the great battles of the Pacific War. The coincidences and relationships that connect the five men allow their experiences to arrive in the context within which they occurred. The historical perspective emerges in a variety of ways. After carefully choosing the right stories and developing them to their fullest, the author has chosen to provide only a thin skein of omniscience. Given its goal, this work is self-evidently not a definitive history of the entire war or even of the battles that it covers. Attempting to tell the story of individuals is fraught with perils. Sources contradict one another. The fog of war leaves mistaken impressions. The fog of time increases these misapprehensions. The documents are incomplete, sometimes inaccurate, and always more revealing of the aggregate experience than that of the individual. Relying on the letters, reports, and journals written during the war, though, solves most of these problems. History books relate what happened. This work focuses on what the men thought was going to happen, what they endured or witnessed, and what they believed had happened. Determining what someone thought at a particular time, before their understanding was shaped later by new information, is highly problematical. Contemporaneous accounts remain the best source. These accounts form the basis of this book. For reasons that will become obvious, I chose not to distinguish between remarks made at the time and those made many years later. Instead, I took great care to prevent the rosy glow of memory from obscuring the facts. The diaries, letters, and reports of Austin Schaffner, Sid's friend John Deacon Tatum, John Bassalone, and Eugene Sledge are new to the war scholarship. They are rare and extremely valuable documents. They have made possible the vivid and unrelenting stories told herein. They also offer new insights and new information on key events and important individuals, as the avid military historians will discern. The basis of research for four of the individuals whose lives appear in this book, Sidney Phillips, Austin Schaffner, Vernon McKeel, and Eugene Sledge, amounts to a core group of documents: their respective military records, letters, journals, memoirs, memoirs of friends, photos, and interviews. Since this book intends to tell the story of these men in their words as much as possible, these sources are quoted and paraphrased liberally, except in the case of Eugene Sledge's memoir. In order to make the endnotes of this book less cumbersome, these sources will be cited in the first endnote of each story, in a super endnote. The additional material used will be cited in the text as necessary. The story of the fifth veteran, on the other hand, could not be handled in this manner. John Bassalone's story was pulled together from 100 different sources, none of which offers more than a piece of the whole. The cast. The vast and complex war against Japan can be understood by following five individuals through it. On the day the Pacific War began, they were, in order of appearance, Lieutenant Austin C. Shifty Schaffner. The scion of a prominent family with a long record of military service, he considered himself a professional Marine. He had seen the barbarity of Japanese occupation up close and looked forward to leading men in combat. Ensign Vernon Mike McKeel. The prospect of being drafted had forced him to leave the family farm and complete the Navy's flight school in the fall of 1944.